I'd like to welcome back to Planet Waves FM Bobby Ann Cox, an attorney in Bronxville, New York. Bobby, thank you for taking the time to speak with us, and welcome back to Planet Waves FM.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Eric.
So just as a refresher, you're one of the hopefully increasing number, but few attorneys who have been standing up to these outrageous things that have been done by the government the past 2 years. I want to thank you for that, by the way. I've been scanning the legal profession for people who care, and I'm very happy to know you. And just for our listeners' sake, your previous work, probably still do it, is property tax law, helping businesses get and homeowners have like sane property valuations, right?
Correct. Assessments. Correct. So yes, for a couple decades now, yes, I have been suing the government on behalf of my clients who own property, whether it's a commercial property or a residential property, investment property, what have you.
Right.
If I think that the government is unjustly over-assessing that property, I would sue the government on behalf of that property owner to get the assessment and therefore the property taxes lowered to the just and proper level.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been suing the government for 20 years. I've been practicing for almost 25 now.
Mm-hmm.
Now suing the governor of New York State and the Department of Health is not so unfamiliar to me, since I've been dealing with the government for decades now.
Right. And now the reason I've invited you on is that there's been this egregious development in New York where the governor has basically gone around the legislature to enact as policy what I believe was A415 originally. Is that right?
A416,
which was basically, everyone was jokingly calling it the Gulag law, where they could just kind of capture people on suspicion of having a disease. It failed. It was thrown out. It died in committee, basically, in January. And then Hochul, what did she do? And what did you do in response?
Right. So, as you say, there was a proposed law. It was bill number A416, and it was actually proposed for many years.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a new proposed law.
Nope.
But it basically would have given the governor the ability or the power to pick and choose who should be quarantined. Now, that would be forcibly quarantined, like they could take you from your home and put you into a quarantine facility of some kind, and they could make you stay there until they thought you were no longer a health threat. excuse me. And so what happened was that bill was presented by the same assemblyman. It was Assemblyman Nick Perry. He was one of the representatives from New
Brooklyn?
York City.
Yep.
Yeah. And so he would just, you know, each time the session came, he would reintroduce it. And it got no support.
None.
I mean, no other assemblyman backed it. They didn't sign on the bill. They didn't co-sponsor the bill. In fact, they didn't even, it never came out of committee. It never was brought to a vote. There was never a sister bill. That because, you know, when you make a law, you have to have not just one of the houses. So in New York State Legislature, we have the Assembly and we have the New York State Senate. And the New York State Senate, nobody in the Senate ever did a sister bill or a matching bill. So it got no support. And when you think about it, there are over, if you combine the number of New York State senators with the number of New York State Assembly members, you have over 200.
Mm-hmm.
And for none of those 200 and something legislators to back this bill, that's a pretty profound statement.
It's a profound
right?
bill. upon determining by clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered by a case or contact or carrier or suspected case, contact or carrier of a contagious disease, they can throw you in jail.
Right, right. So it was so, I like to use the word, it shocks the conscience, right?
Yeah.
And no legislator wanted to touch it because, it's just so anti-American.
Yeah.
And so it ultimately was withdrawn mm-hmm. by Assemblyman Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in December of 2021. He was getting such backlash because
New Yorkers
started.
Oh, he was in December, not in January. So we start the session without it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. He withdrew it in December of 2021. And he's no longer an assemblyman, by
the
way.
Good.
He was, yeah, he, well, he was, he was appointed by the Biden administration. He's no longer in the New York State Assembly, but that's okay because you know what happened was the governor made this regulation, which is 10 NYCRR 2.13. It's called Isolation and Quarantine Procedures, and she made it a regulation and pushed it through the Department of Health. So the difference between a regulation and a law is that a regulation is promulgated by an agency,
mm-hmm.
and agencies are not elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
So the head of the Department of Health, Dr. Mary Bassett, is not elected by the people of New York.
Right.
So, and then all the people that work, you know, under the Department of Health, they're not elected by the New Yorkers.
The career bureaucrats.
Yeah, so you have bureaucrats, you have unelected officials in the government making what is actually a law and calling it a regulation. And so you have now usurped the power of the legislature. You've said, oh, no legislator wanted to push it through and make it a law. Oh, okay, no problem. We're just going to take that pretty much the same language, not exactly the same, but pretty much the same language, and we're just going to make it a regulation. And we're going to push it through an agency so that we don't even have to deal with the voters and we don't even have to deal with the legislators.
Right.
And so here we are with a regulation that Kathy Hochul has been, or her Department of Health, has been issuing this regulation since August when she first took office. That was when former Governor Cuomo stepped down.
Mm-hmm.
So every couple of months, they reissue this regulation. They're calling it an emergency regulation. And that allows them to bypass all of the proper procedures when you are going to promulgate a regulation. But it's very interesting because, you know, you can't... Oh, and they are trying to make it permanent, too. Because back in December, they issued in the New York State Register a notice of proposed rulemaking, which is then going to make this a permanent regulation. So they don't even need an emergency mm-hmm. to have this regulation
around. So currently, just to be clear, it's not a permanent regulation. It's an emergency regulation. Is there still
Correct.
A state of emergency in New York?
No.
When did that end?
So Hochul kept reestablishing. So states of emergency can only last for 30 days. And she kept reissuing or redeclaring states of emergency month after month after month. The last one ended in the middle of April. So as of today, there is not an emergency declaration that I know of. But the regulation was re-promulgated April 22nd, because that's when the prior one expired, was re-promulgated April 22nd, and they issued it for 90 more days, so it now expires on July 20th.
But there's no emergency, so it's in the event of an emergency this can come into effect?
No, it's... An emergency regulation just means that it is on the books but it's an emergency regulation, it doesn't mean that you can only use this if there is an emergency. That's not what the regulation says.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter if it's issued as an emergency or as a permanent reg, because right now it's in effect. So it's in effect, and it's unconstitutional whether it's an emergency regulation or whether it's a permanent regulation. It's still unconstitutional because the executive branch, which is the governor and which is the Department of Health, and, you know, all the agencies that fall under the executive branch, that branch of government doesn't get to make laws.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That branch of government enforces the laws that are made by the legislature.
Basic checks and balances.
Exactly.
What does this allow them to do? What is this? Could you give me some examples, please, of what the agents of the health department could do?
Sure. So the regulation, and if people want to actually look up and read the regulation for themselves, the one of the petitioners that I'm representing in the lawsuit is Uniting New York State. It's a citizens group, and they created a website specifically for this lawsuit. So your listeners could go to www.unitingnys.com/lawsuit, mm-hmm. and they can see all the information about the lawsuit, including there's a link there to the regulation itself. So people can just click on that link and the regulation will pop up, and then they can read what the regulation says.
So for example, what could happen?
So the regulation basically says, if the Department of Health or whoever they appoint thinks that a New Yorker might have a communicable disease, they can issue an order of forced quarantine or isolation, which could be in your home, meaning you have to stay in your house until they tell you you can come out, or it could be in a facility. So they can force you to leave your house and put you into a facility, whether it's a, you know, detention center, a camp, a facility, well, whatever you want to call it. It's someplace that's not your home that they can force you to go to and stay there for however long they say. And they don't even have to prove that you're sick. So it's just they think you might have a communicable disease.
Mm-hmm.
There's also no limit on age. So they can knock on your door and take your child. They could knock on your door and take your elderly parent or elderly grandparent. There's absolutely no limit on time frame in this regulation. There's no limit on age. It's unbelievable.
It's insane.
The amount of power that this regulation gives the Department of Health. It's unbelievable. They can literally, you could just have walked by someone who sneezed, right? And they say, oh, well, we think now you might have whatever communicable disease. Make one up, you know, pick one off the list. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could say, sorry, you're going to have to come with us and, you know, you can't see your family or go to work or do anything. I mean, it's, and then they can, the regulation says they can tell you what you can and cannot do while you're in isolation. So, okay, so does that mean I can't, if you put me into a quarantine facility, does that mean that I can't call my family? I can't do FaceTime with them, or I can't work from there? Can I bring my laptop? I mean, it's so broad. It's unbelievable. It's so unconstitutional on so many levels.
I mean, I've been meditating on A416 since I discovered it in 2020. I was disgusted by it. Fascinated by it. I'm looking at the text that I saved on my Facebook page and posted for everyone to see right now. Sections 1, 2, and part of section 3, where it's just like, boom, they arrest everyone. Throw you in somewhere, they don't say where it is. No process of any kind on suspicion.
Yep.
What is driving this? I mean, this seems so psychotic. I mean, this makes the Reichstag laws look just and fair.
Yeah, it is. It shocks the conscience. It really does. It's unbelievable. And, you know, we have in New York State, we have laws that talk about if somebody is a danger to others, that they could be put into a facility, right? I'm sure you've heard of, you know, maybe somebody is a psychiatric patient.
MHL,
right?
and 3 days.
They have severe, you know, mental problems they're dealing with, and they are a threat to the public, whatever. But the statute, it's part of the public health law, that statute says very specifically all the steps that have to be taken before you can take that person's freedom away and put them into a facility or a psychiatric ward or whatever it is. Very specific steps have to be taken. And one of those things that has to be done is that you have to have a hearing before a judge. They call it a magistrate, which is a type of judge. You have to have a hearing, and the person that wants to lock you up has to have done an investigation. They have to have proof of how you are a threat to the society and blah, blah, blah. And there's actually a hearing. And if the judge then or the magistrate then decides, okay, yeah, you know, I think this person is actually harming others and whatnot, you know, then there could be a set time that they're put into a facility or whatever. But this regulation completely conflicts with that law. And regulations, again, are promulgated by agencies, which are part of the executive branch. You can't have an agency regulation that violates current existing New York State law. If you could do that, if an agency could just override laws that are passed by the legislature, what would our society look like? That means that the appointed people in an agency, whether it's the Department of Health or some other agency, get to dictate how New Yorkers live instead of the legislators in the legislative branch of government discussing, debating, having open hearings, having town halls, hearing from their constituents, hey, what do you guys want us to do here? What do you think about this? Listening to their voters and then debating and voting and passing a law or not passing a law. Mm-hmm. Agencies can't override that process. So that's what happened here. The agency, the Department of Health, is completely conflicting with existing New York State law. The other thing is, there's New York State law, again, part of the public health law, that says what penalties would be permitted in a certain circumstance if you are violating an order and you're, you know, a threat to the public health. It does not say either you have to pay a fine or the Attorney General, the Department of Health can ask the Attorney General to do a subpoena against you. This regulation, this isolation and quarantine regulation, has written in there that the Department of Health can use local law enforcement to make sure that their order of isolation or quarantine is being followed by you. Mm-hmm. So that means that the sheriff or maybe your local police, what have you, can come knocking on your door and remove you from your home and bring you to one of these, you know, quarantine.
I mean, this
facilities.
Opens up a whole can of worms for everything to because the police are acting outside of their authority without probable cause.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point of our lawsuit, is that this is not just a separation of powers problem. This is not just the executive branch usurping the legislative branch and telling New Yorkers what they have to do when it comes to, you know, a possible exposure to a communicable disease. It's that it's violating numerous provisions of our already existing statutes that are in place. Mm-hmm. So it's very, it's shocking. I mean, I know I keep saying that word, but as an attorney, it's shocking that the executive branch is even trying to do this, let alone, you know, getting away with it. I mean, she's been doing this, as I said, since August.
I mean, it makes you think like we're under some other new jurisdiction we don't know about.
Yeah, well, this is the whole premise of the lawsuit, and I haven't yet delved into the topic of who I'm representing in the lawsuit. So it's, as I originally mentioned, Uniting New York State. It's a citizens group that is a statewide group. They have thousands of members across the state. They are one of the petitioners in the lawsuit, but we also have two New York State Assembly members, one New York State senator, mm-hmm. that are petitioners in the lawsuit. So it's Senator George Borrello, it's Assemblyman Chris Tague, and then it's Assemblyman Mike Lawler. Mm-hmm. So those three men, together with Uniting New York State, are the petitioners, which means they're basically, you call them, you know, plaintiffs, but this is an Article 78 proceeding. It's a different kind of lawsuit, so you call them petitioners. Mm-hmm. So that's who I'm representing here, and because those three New York State legislators are named in the lawsuit, they're representing themselves, but they're also representing all the other New York State legislators who are similarly situated. So we're basically representing the entire New York State legislature against the executive branch, which is our named respondents or defendants in the case, is Governor Hochul, the Department of Health, the head of the Department of Health, which is the commissioner, which is Dr. Mary Bassett, and then the Public Health Planning Council, which is the group of people that are appointed by the governor. They sit on this council, and they basically, you know, rubber stamp. When a reg is being promulgated, they basically rubber stamp it into existence. So those are the four defendants or the four respondents that we're suing. Mm-hmm. And so they're being represented by the attorney general, right? Because that's the attorney for the state of New York. So so I'm dealing with a couple of the assistant attorney generals on this matter. And one of the things that they did is instead of answering the lawsuit, which they were supposed to do a couple of weeks ago, they removed the case from New York State Supreme Court to federal court. Mm-hmm. And they tried to argue that this lawsuit was based on federal law and the federal constitution. It was a very weak argument, and it was very untrue. This is clearly a New York State lawsuit. This is about how the governor and the Department of Health, how they have usurped the power of the New York State legislature, how they have violated a number of New York State statutes. And, you know, there were a couple references to the federal constitution in general. So they tried to say, oh, this is all about the federal constitution. This should be argued and decided in federal court. Obviously, we disagreed. So we made a motion in federal court, and we said, here's why this is not true. This is clearly a New York State case, not a federal law case. Mm-hmm. And then the judge, we had oral arguments, and the judge rendered a decision, and he agreed with us. He said, no, this is not, you know, this is not a federal case. It's not a federal issue. We even amended our complaint so that we would say, okay, you think that this case relies on federal law? We'll take out we'll take out any reference at all to the federal constitution, and our case is still just as strong, stands on its own, and the federal judge agreed with us. So he actually remanded our case back to state court. But, you know, it was a stall tactic. It was a game that the attorney general's office wanted to play. I don't know. I guess they wanted to waste time. I think they certainly thought it was going to take weeks for us to get back to state court. But thankfully, the federal court judge saw the urgency and gave us an expedited hearing. And So now we're back in New York State Court, which is where the case belongs.
This is an Article 78. This is a special kind of lawsuit where you're essentially suing the state for violating its own rules.
Right. Yes, correct.
Laws. Those always make me nervous, but this sounds like a fairly strong one because it's not the kind of thing that can just be... The normal defense to an Article 78 is the agency knows best. I'm just a judge. I don't know. The health department, they're the health experts. But this really is a legal question. It's not a question of policy.
Right.
It's not like, was the employee fired correctly or did they deserve to be fired? You know, you never win against the division of, rarely win against the Division of Human Rights, for example, when you appeal. But this to me seems different.
It is different because here we're not talking about, there aren't questions of fact here. Many lawsuits have a question of fact. If you take like a simple slip and fall case, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody goes into a store, there's water on the floor, they slip, they fall, they break their leg or they break their arm, and then they turn around and they sue the store. So you're going to now have questions of fact. Okay, well, was there really water on the floor?
Who put the water there?
Right. Did the store know there was water on the floor?
Yeah.
Did the person who slipped and fell and hurt themselves pour the water on the floor?
Yeah.
You know, there are questions of fact that have to be answered in a case like that. We don't have that here. Here we're saying, okay, here's the regulation that the Department of Health has promulgated, and here's why it's illegal. So it is different. Yes, Article 78 proceedings are different than a regular lawsuit as that most people would think of when they think of law and suing somebody over something. Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing with a breach of contract case. What did the contract say? Did you really breach it? What were the terms? Did you follow the terms? Those are all questions of fact. Right. Those are not questions of law. So it is. You're right. It is different.
Right. Okay. So now how does this proceed?
So, right now, what's going on in this moment, so there are three New York State Assemblymen, in addition to the three legislators that are on the lawsuit, there are three New York State Assemblymen who have written an amicus brief, which is, for those listeners that are not clear on what that is, an amicus brief is written by a party that is not a party to the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not one of the plaintiffs, they're not one of the defendants, but they have a heavy interest in the outcome of the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, it's three New York State Assemblymen. It's Assemblyman Andy Goodell, Assemblyman Will Barclay, and Assemblyman Joe Giglio. Mm-hmm. And they got together, they did an amicus brief, they filed it with the court last week, but the Attorney General is opposing this.
Opposing amicus briefs? Isn't that up to the judge? I guess you can fight against anything, right?
Yeah, pretty much. but so if both sides consented, if the plaintiffs and the defendants both said, okay, yeah, that's fine, we're fine with this party filing an amicus brief, then you don't need the judge. The judge doesn't have to do anything. It gets filed and the judge reads it and he decides, whether or not he wants to weigh in on it. But in this case, because these three assemblymen want to write an amicus brief to support our side of the case, right? They want to support the other legislators that are suing and uniting New York State that is suing the governor. The Attorney General's office said, "Oh, yeah, no, we're not going to allow that. We're not going to consent." So now, they're called amicus curiae, or in Latin,
friend of the court.
Yep. Yeah. So the amicus curiae, which So Assemblyman Andy Goodell is heading up that team. He had to file a motion with the court asking the court for permission to file the amicus brief. And so now we are, which he did, he filed that motion, and now we are waiting for the Attorney General's office to file their opposition papers. We are also waiting for the Attorney General's office to file their answer to my lawsuit. So we should be hearing or seeing those opposition papers sometime next week. So
going to trial, having a little trial over whether someone can file a motion, a kind of affidavit. An amicus brief is like an affidavit. It's like, here's what I think.
Yeah.
It has no real power.
Like, right. Right. It's kind of like that. Yeah. It's, it's to waste time, to waste resources, to stall, you know, they're doing what they can to not argue us on the merits of the case. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever they can do to prolong that, you know, they will. It's a typical stall tactic of, we're going to remove this case to federal court. Oh, we're going to oppose your amicus brief, you know. So I think it shows clearly that they're wanting to stall in actually getting to the merits of the case.
Mm-hmm. I can't say I blame them. This is pure hell. I can't believe we're having this conversation. If you had told me 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago that you and I would be having this conversation, I'd be like, okay, that and the alien invasion.
I know. It is very, it's disturbing that the executive branch is trying to do this. But, you know, the reason that I wanted to do this lawsuit I'm doing it pro bono, which means that I don't get paid for doing the lawsuit. The reason that I wanted to do it is because it's a step too far, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, they being the executive branch, have done a lot of things that are overstepping and pushing that line, pushing the boundary of where their power ends. But this, to me, is a clear, clear jump into the other lane of lawmaking. Right? I mean, it's just... There's no...
It's dictatorship. There's no other word for it. It's dictatorship. Yeah, we're talking about ripping people out of their homes.
Right.
And whole families, right. Named or according to A416, even if they don't know their names, they don't even have to bother naming them.
Yeah, and you want to know where the power came from, because somebody asked me recently, you know, where did Governor Hochul get this from, right? It actually started under Governor Cuomo. Because Governor Cuomo, in March of 2020, when, you know, COVID-19 was declared a pandemic, the legislature voted to change a section of the executive law. It was Section 29A. And what that did was it gave Governor Cuomo these powers, these special powers to, quote-unquote, make directives, right? Which is basically making law, right? They gave this one man the power to make law. Now, I'm not going to argue whether or not that was even legal, because, you know, in my opinion, it's not legal. You cannot just hand over lawmaking power to one person. But let's not even go in that direction right now. We're going to talk about the fact that Cuomo then took that power that was given to him by the legislature, and he told his agencies, do whatever you need to stop the spread of this disease, right? So that's when the Department of Health made 10 NYCRR 2.13. That's when they made this isolation and quarantine regulation. And Governor Cuomo kept, you know, okay, it's good, it's good. He kept issuing states of emergency. They kept, the Department of Health kept re-promulgating this emergency regulation every couple months. But then in, let's see, March of 2021, so a year later, the executive, that executive law section was amended again by the New York State Legislature, and they took the power away from Cuomo, right? He had just gone nutso with all these, you know, people were calling them mandates, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they took the power away from him because he was just going crazy with it. And, you know, everybody started to see, well, you know, COVID-19's not as crazy as we think. You know, now we have therapeutics and this and that and whatever. Okay. So when they took that power away from him, he lost the ability to make those mandates. And therefore, so did his agency.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the power was taken away from him by the legislature. You can't possibly have the agency retain the power that he passed on to them. That just doesn't make any sense. Right?
And wait, so, this is based on... Oh, my God.
Right.
I mean, I knew Hochul was crazy when... I got an email, came floating into my email box. I'm on the list. And she was going to give some remarks Saturday afternoon. I'm like, what the hell? I'm sitting here. She talks about how she went marching into a pizzeria and made pizza behind the counter of the pizzeria because she's so talented at making pizza. And I'm thinking, what? Like, there's something wrong with her.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a power grab. In this instance, not the pizza, but in this instance, it's clearly a power grab, you know. And furthermore, Governor Cuomo repealed, technically he did. So he declared in June of 2021, he declared the emergency over, you know, okay, we're living with COVID now. It's, you know, let's all try and get back to normal here, right? So he declared the state of emergency over in June of 2021, and he then issued an executive order that repealed all of the prior executive orders that he had put in place about the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Which included the executive order that had given the power to the agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually revoked that. He repealed that. And then, 2 months later is when he steps down. You know, Kathy Hochul rises from lieutenant governor to governor. And what does she do? She takes the same exact regulation, which now is not technically legally proper anymore because the power was revoked by the legislature and Cuomo himself repealed the executive order that gave the agency the power in the first place. And she just tells her Department of Health, well, just, you know, go ahead, promulgate it again.
Okay, so this may be pure procedure. From my lips to God's ears.
In what sense?
In the sense that it's just procedurally completely wrong. There's no legal grounds to do any of this.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly.
Hence, and it's really suited for Article 78. It really is. I usually think federal court's the best place to sue the state, but to me, I'm not an attorney, but this sounds like a great Article 78. Calling the Mets game here, but it's more serious than that.
It's a clear violation of your duties as an officer of the state. You know, you whether it was done intentionally or not, it doesn't really matter, right? The fact is that it was done, and it's continuing to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be stopped. Obviously, the governor is not voluntarily stopping,
no.
Nor is the Department of Health, which is why we need the lawsuit so that the court can tell the governor and the Department of Health, sorry, but this is, you're outside your lane here. You know, you got to get back into your lane. You know, you crossed over into the world of lawmaking, which you're not allowed to do. And in fact, let's see, in early February of 2022, so just a couple months ago, there were about 30 or 40 New York State Assembly members who wrote a letter to the governor and the commissioner of health and whatnot, and said just that. They said, you're trying to usurp our power. You don't have the authority to do this. You need to stop. Don't make this regulation, and they mentioned a couple other regulations, don't make this regulation permanent. You don't have the power. And, you know, she didn't listen.
Right. You know, she's not the type. And, you know, you wonder who she's working for. I do.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've been saying, as you know, I've been pretty vocal the past couple of years with all of this overreach and whatnot. And anytime I gave a speech or went and, you know, did a lecture or something, I would always say, to defeat overreach like this, you know, a lot of people call it tyranny. Call it what you want. It's the same thing. It's overreach. It's tyranny. It's being something that you're not authorized to be. To stop it, it has to be a multifaceted approach. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely, lawsuits are great, but they're not the only thing that are going to get us out of this. Mm-hmm. We have to also be proactive on the voter level, mm-hmm. right? New York voters need to reach out to their assembly members and their senators in the New York State Legislature, and they need to have their voices heard. You need to send an email or make a phone call or write an old-fashioned letter and put it in the mailbox and write to them and say, hey, you know what? I don't like this regulation, whatever regulation it is, right? It doesn't have to just be the isolation and quarantine regulation. Mm-hmm. I don't like this regulation. Please do something about it. You're my representative in Albany. You're my voice in the lawmaking process. Do something about it. Voters need to do something. They need to take action. They need to let their representatives know what they think. Because if you think about it, the politicians just, you know, I mean, they want to please their constituents because they want to get reelected. They want to continue representing their constituents. Mm-hmm. And so they'll listen to their constituents. But if the voters don't speak up, then how do the representatives know what they want or what they don't want? So I have been saying for quite some time, we have to be proactive. We have to reach out to our legislators. We have to go to events. You know, if there's an open meeting or a town hall meeting, you have to show up. You have to let your voice be heard. Mm-hmm. And that's what our, you know, this is a constitutional republic. That's what our society is based upon, is that the people govern the governors, right?
Yep.
The Constitution was not written to keep the people in check. The Constitution was written to keep the politicians in check.
Yes, it's the beauty, it's the poetry of the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law. The Bill of Rights begins with those words. Congress shall make no law, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Telling me to shut up, or you, or anyone.
Yeah, and that's what people, I think a lot of voters have lost sight of the fact that because there is so much government overreach going on, I think voters have lost sight of the fact that the power lies with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the people need to exercise their voices because that's how you effectuate change. Now, again, it's not the only way. You know, you're not going to solve all the problems of government overreach just by writing an email or calling your New York State representatives, but it helps.
No, it has to come from every angle. I agree with you. Every angle has to be worked.
That's right. That's right. And that's exactly what this is. So we're taking it from, and you know, I call it lobbying. It's not really lobbying. It's voters letting their voices be heard, mm-hmm. right? But you lobby your representatives in Albany, heck, you know, hey, you should be writing letters and emails to the governor too. She's elected. She's supposed to be representing us and governing the way that we want. People should be reaching out to her as well. And yes, of course, we also need the lawsuits to be in place. And this is, you know, our lawsuit this against the isolation and quarantine regulations, our lawsuit is the first and only one, not just in New York State, but in the entire country. So I understand that Washington State is trying to do something similar. And so, you know, this is what happens if New York keeps this regulation in place. It's just a matter of time before that leaks out to the other states around the country. And they're going to say, well, look, oh, well, look, New York is doing it. Why can't we force our citizens in our state into these quarantine facilities?
Oh, this has been one long game of monkey see, monkey do with this whole thing. Well, they did it. Well, New York did it. Everyone can do it. California does it. Everyone can do it. New York does it. Everyone thinks they can do it.
That's right. That's
People
right.
Look to
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. I did an interview a week or so ago with Real America's Voice, Steve Gruber. Has America's Voice live show, and you know we were talking about this regulation and the lawsuit, and you know at the end he said this lawsuit is pertinent not just to New Yorkers but to all Americans mm-hmm. because you know if you allow this to stay, this to become quote unquote normal in New York, absolutely the other states are going to look at it, especially the blue states, right? And they're going to say, New York is doing it. Well, why can't we?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's frightening. It's not, it's anti-American to the bone, right?
Yeah.
It is not what our country is founded on. It's not what our state is founded on. So this is why we're fighting this fight.
Excellent. Now, I have a peripherally related question, and this is no one's favorite topic. They are using what I now understand to be a wholly fraudulent test to diagnose what they claim is infection. The science is, at this point, indisputable. Is there some way to enjoin or block the Department of Health from using or getting any credibility for this PCR test?
That would probably... You know, you have to look at the enabling statute. So one thing I didn't talk about yet, but what is also covered in the lawsuit is an agency, like you're saying here, the Department of Health, can't promulgate regulations just out of thin air, right? So there needs to be something directing them to do whatever that is that they're doing with a regulation. So for the legislature, if the legislature wants to pass a law, so let's say that they did pass A416, right, the legislature, mm-hmm. they could then say to the Department of Health, okay, here's this new law. We want you to we want you to make regulations to enforce or help us enforce this law, right? And then the Department of Health could come up with a regulation that would say, okay, you know, this is what it would take for you to have to be quarantined in your house, and this is what it would take for you to have to be quarantined in a facility. But if there is no enabling statute, we call it, meaning a statute or a law that enables the agency to make mm-hmm. their regulation, mm-hmm. and they don't have power from the governor giving a directive, which is called an executive order, if they don't have some higher authority telling them that they can do this, they can't just make regulations out of thin air, right? Because again, think about it. If they were allowed to do that, then they could make any regulation they want on any topic, and then they become a dictatorship, mm-hmm. right? They could just overrule laws that are on the books that are passed by the legislature. So If there's no enabling statute, there's no directive, you know, executive order from the governor telling the Department of Health, hey, you need to use these PCR tests and do whatever, where are they getting the authority? You have to answer that question first. Where is the Department of Health or any agency getting their authority to do this? And I'll give people an example that it's very a widespread example because it was it made big news. If you remember last year, Biden told an agency, in that case it was OSHA, that they needed to pass a create a regulation that said any employers in the United States who had 100 or more employees had to force those employees to either get the COVID-19 shot or wear a mask, you know, to work and test weekly.
And that didn't stand up.
Right, right. And then the Biden administration got sued over that directive, which was pushed through OSHA, which is an agency underneath the executive branch. And it went all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. And in January, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled on it and said, sorry, nope. You overstepped your bounds. You went outside your lane. You do not have Congress, because, right, the New York State legislature is state level, but Congress is the lawmaking body for the federal. Congress didn't tell you to make this regulation. Congress didn't give you the power to make this regulation. And this regulation is really a law that you're just calling a regulation. But it's really a law, and you can't make law because you're OSHA and you're an agency.
So I can't imagine what that would be with the choice of an analytical device. They're probably charged with the responsibility of analyzing samples generally, but left to the agency's discretion how they do so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's not something I've looked at, so I don't know what where they're trying to draw their power from. Where is your enabling statute? Where is your authority coming from to do this? Those are the questions you have to ask when you're looking at, you know, is any regulation, again, it doesn't have to be just from the Department of Health. We have tons of agencies, right? So that's the first question. Okay, where are you getting this power from? You know,
so there must be some law that created the Wadsworth Lab.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole question. That's really the whole question. And then if there is an enabling statute that does permit them to make that regulation and people don't like it and enough people don't like it, then that's when you go back to your legislators or on the federal level, your representatives in Congress, and you say, wait a minute, no, we don't like this. Why don't you guys undo this law that you did? We don't like this. We don't want this. Let's change it up. You know, again, whether it's federal level or state level, it's the same premise. There are three branches of government. We've got we've got the judicial branch, which is, you know, the courts and the judges. We've got the executive branch, which is this on the state level. It's the governor. On the federal level, it's the president. And then we have the legislative branch, which, again, on the state level is the New York State Legislature, and on the federal level, it's Congress. Those three branches are supposed to do their own jobs, stay in their own lanes, and that's why we have separation of powers, which is clearly enumerated in not just the federal constitution, but in the New York State Constitution as well. And if you don't follow that, if you break down separation of powers, then you don't have co-equal branches, right? Those three branches are supposed to all be equal. They're supposed to keep each other in check and balance each other out. But if one of them starts taking the power of the other guy, then you've now opened the door to tyranny. And that's not okay. That the people suffer when that's allowed. Right? The oligarchs don't suffer. The people on the top, the people, the appointed, again, these are unelected appointed officials in the Department of Health, right? So they're not suffering. They're the ones that are telling everybody else what to do, but they don't have the authority to tell everybody else what to do in this instance, right? In this case. So that's basically it. That's, you know, that's the sum and substance of our lawsuit, and I hope that your listeners get involved. There are a lot of ways that people can get involved you know, I have people reaching out to me all the time. What can I do to help? You know, I want to do something. I want to help. You know, we need to win this thing. And there's so much people can do. The website, unitingnys.com, has a lot of information on there on how people can get involved. Even just spreading the word about the regulation itself and about the lawsuit, just spreading the word, whether it's on social media or in chat groups or at, you know, school board meetings or whatever. A lot of New Yorkers think that when A416 was pulled back in December, that this all went away. A lot of New Yorkers don't know that this regulation is in place right now.
Right.
So, you know, we need to make people aware. We need to spread the word. I just really encourage people to check out, you know, we have a commercial, a 2-minute short video commercial about the regulation, about the lawsuit. It's, again, to spread awareness. Mm-hmm. People can, you know, that's posted on unitingnys.com. People can spread that around, share that around. A lot of people don't know that this reg exists and that we're trying to fight it in court. And, you know, we cannot let democracy die in darkness. That would just be the wrong way for this to turn out.
And it's difficult for people to conceive of something so utterly strange, really. The kind of thing you read about going on in other places and times, and you think Mussolini, Chairman Mao, Stalin, right? You know, you don't think, oh yeah, Governor Pizza Gulag here in New York, her whole cutesy folksy thing she does, that she wants the power to just take your entire family and put you somewhere. It's inconceivable, and I think this is the thing to leap over. This is the kind of barrier. The barrier.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, we have to stand up for our rights, because clearly the executive branch is not going to do it voluntarily.
No.
So
all right.
I think we've seen that.
Yep. Listen, thank you for making an effort here and genuinely. And really, I wanted to say that I have been profoundly disappointed in the legal profession throughout this. There have been some shining examples of people who have stood up with even the attorneys I know, are just like, yeah, forget everything because of COVID. And it's like, no, this is the time to, you know, stand up. Not when these same people say, oh, okay, now you don't have to worry, it's safe.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, I think, you know, people really only react when something is affecting them directly. Sometimes people aren't looking at the bigger picture. But as far as, you know, other attorneys stepping up, it is very difficult to do, because you see what happens with the doctors that stand up and say something that goes against the narrative. You know, the same thing happens with attorneys that stand up and are going against the narrative. You know, you can lose clients over it. People start to assume you're politically involved or your political affiliation. You know, you can get blacklisted, and who's going to fund a lawsuit like this, right? So, really, people make donations to our legal fund, which is very, very much appreciated, because, as I said, I'm not getting paid for this. So, you know, if any of your listeners would like to support financially, no donation is too small. But we have a donate link on my website, which is coxlawyers.com. And there's a donate link on unitingnys.com as well. But, you know, this is why it's hard for attorneys to stand up, because, you know, this takes an extremely huge amount of time. And, you know, everybody has bills they have to pay themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't really fault the other attorneys that haven't stood up, but you're right. There are very few of us that are standing up. You know, attorney Tom Marcel, who's based in the Albany area, has been a huge help, really just a fantastic attorney and really passionate about this regulation and this lawsuit. And
the guy out in Utica has been great. Who is that?
I'm sorry.
Who is the fellow out in Utica?
No, I'm talking about Tom Marcel. He's specifically has been involved in this lawsuit with me.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that he's been so great. Tom Marcel also has his own. Let's see, he's got a federal court mask case. Mm-hmm. That he brought last year, I believe it was in October of 2021. So he actually is also fighting on the front lines for the masks, and his case is in federal court. But with this case, with the isolation and quarantine case, he has been pivotal. You know, he helped with dealing in federal court and getting us back into state court, and you know, a phenomenal attorney. But there are very few of us that are doing these kinds of cases. And, you know, we need support from the people, because this is all to benefit the people. This is what it's all about. And people need to remember also, this is an election year here in New York. So all the New York State representatives, all the assembly members and all the state senators and the governor, they're all up for re-election in November. So I think that is key. I think people here in New York need to get involved, stand up, let your voice be heard, and ask those hard questions to your representatives or to the candidates that want to represent you in the New York State Senate or the New York State Assembly. Say, hey, you're running for this office. What's your position on isolation and quarantine regulation? And what would you do to try and stop the governor and the Department of Health from overreaching like this? You know, you have to ask those hard questions of these candidates, because if they're going to get in and represent you, you want to know that they're going to do the right thing, and your voice is going to be heard.
Yeah, well, yes. And so therefore, learning how to get involved and where to find your state legislators. I mean, I called Kevin Cahill's office when I read about 416, and they were like, this is a non-starter. But now it's on a different venue. Now it's a different game. It's regulation now. So I will call them back, and I will ask. And it's no big deal. Just call up, and you talk to the person who answers the phone. You make a statement, you ask a question, any interest counts. You don't have to know anything. You can even call up and say, I heard about this regulation about isolation and quarantine. Tell me about it. That's really, I think, all you have to do. Even objecting is not even necessary. Merely asking the question will make the point just as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Because you know what? There are a lot of current, in position, sitting New York State legislators that don't know about this regulation. That is the truth. I have spoken with some directly that don't know about it.
I believe you. And the news, because legislators find things out in the newspapers just like everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why awareness about this regulation is so important. And we're asking people. We have Uniting New York State made flyers about the lawsuit and the reg. Those are on their website. People can download them, or they can print them out and pass them around, or, you know, post them at your local village hall or supermarket or whatever. Whatever people can do to help spread the word that this is going on, that's really the key here. And people, and also sign up for the Uniting New York State does weekly newsletters, and people should sign up for those. It's, you know, it's totally free. You just go on their website, unitingnys.com, and you can type in, you know, it says, you know, sign up here or something like that. And you can just type in your email address, and you'll be added to their list. It automatically makes you a member, and you get the weekly newsletters, and you can stay up to date on what's going on, not just on this lawsuit, but on other things around the state as well. So I think getting involved is key. And like I said, there are a lot of ways to get involved, but helping to spread the word, handing out flyers, passing around flyers, posting them on your social media, posting the commercial that we made, you know, all these things help. Reaching out to your state senator, to your state assembly member, all these things help. If everyone only just took, you know, 5 minutes every day or every other day to do one thing, you know, it turns into a whole crew full of people that are making a difference. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would really encourage people to do for all those listeners that are thinking, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I need to do something. You know, there are a lot of ways to help. I'll leave it there with, you know, the websites that they can check out.
And we'll link to those for more information. We'll link to those also.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Listen, thank you again.
Yes, thank you for having me on, Eric. I'm very glad to share the information and help people get educated on this, because it's super important people know what's going on.
Great. And I'll be looking for events where you're going to appear publicly and see if I can get down in your direction. Once again, Bobby Ann Cox, attorney representing, what is it, New Yorkers United? Uniting New York?
Uniting NYS.
Got it.
Yep.
All right.
Then governor, fighting the governor, the Department of Health, the Commissioner of Health, and our three legislators are Senator George Borrello, Assemblyman Chris Tague, and Assemblyman Mike Lawler, and they're great leaders. They're really, for them to stand up and be named in the lawsuit, and our amicus Assemblyman, you know, Assemblyman Goodell, Assemblyman Will Barkley, and Assemblyman Joe Giglio, you know, it takes a lot of courage for them to stand up like this, because they'll get backlash too, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
All right. Once again,
I hope people support them too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eric.
Okay. Till next time, Bobby Ann. Bye for now.
Okay. Have a great day.